Welcome to another episode of the Big Pod Machine, the greatest baseball podcast in pretty much the entire world.
The world.
With my partner, Patrick Brennan, and our terrific producer, Phil Didion, I'm Gordon Wittenmeyer. Let's get to this miserable, crappy week or two of baseball that is coming at the worst possible time for a team that had playoff aspirations. Pat, you're going to jump in the river, dude.
I feel a few steps closer to the Ohio today, but I'm not giving up, Gordon, on this team. I have to concede, it hasn't been a good last few days here in Cincinnati for this team.
They lost
again to the Brewers, the 12th straight series loss, 16 of the last 18 to the Brewers, Gordon. They cannot beat this team. In fact, they can't beat anyone except the Pirates in the NL Central right now. They have won one of seven series in the against NL Central opposition this year, Gordon. I feel closer to the Ohio River, but the Reds still have the benefit of time. You will not get me to backtrack on that.
You're an idiot, man. I'm giving you a chance to backtrack, and you're not going to backtrack. You still say lots of time.
No, because as bad as it looks in the division, you know that I have been an advocate of the Reds making a play for that third wild card spot. And as much as you and Jason Williams have tried to argue that this is such a tough playoff field, that third wild card is going to be sitting right there, buddy. It's already not that far. They're only, four or five games back in the wild card. That deficit can be overcome.
Just make sure you wear a shirt when you jump in the river, would you please? Because I am going to be there to document it.
I know.
I don't want to see more than I have to.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough thing with the shirt on, shirt off. I think decorum dictates that I go shirtless, though.
Well, that's the best way to get nobody to show up to watch.
Well, I know, but I'm in the pool. I'm a shirt off guy. You don't wear a shirt in the pool, do you? Why would I wear one in the river?
Well, isn't there an undertow in the river? You're going to want as much freedom of movement. Well, I guess that's no shirt then. So I don't know. We should probably attach something to the shirt you're wearing so we can pull you out.
You'll have to catch me downriver. Maybe
I love the fact that you're not backtracking, but you're talking openly about the day you're going to have to jump in the river.
Well, look, you know, you and Jason Williams had a great column that's on Cincinnati.com talking about this team. Viability as a seller. Who should they sell? Why it's time to sell. And I just am not there with this team. They're three games under. They're one run away. And this cast of characters has shown in the past, not the recent past, I will grant you, but the past, nonetheless, they have done it before. They can go on a run. And one good run, you are back in the race. Just like the Brewers, like we've seen with the Brewers over the last 10 days.
Look, I know what people say. I'm Mr. Negative a lot, you know, and F them. But, there are stranger things that have happened in baseball. Even that I've seen. And so, you know, I'm not saying it's impossible. I am just saying it ain't going to happen. But so Pat, even with your crazy optimism that I do give you some credibility for,
with 99 games left on the schedule.
Yeah. 99 problems whatever. You get where I'm going with it. The point is like there's some signs here that suggest they might want to start looking to next year ASAP. And obviously the record's one of them. But also this, they beat the Brewers in the middle game of that series in a great freaking game. It's the way that they can win games, right? You get enough pitching, you get just enough runs scored, and then you get a guy like TJ Friedl go over the wall to make the catch to end the game with the tying run in play. I mean, that's a home run, ties the game. Instead, game over. It's exciting. That's as good a game, as fun a game to watch as you're going to find.
Yeah.
And they put it in their bank of wins. And we find out after the game, Hunter Green, yeah, their best pitcher, is going on the IL again because he experienced a recurrence of that groin injury.
Yeah.
And we don't know how long this is going to be. They're not going to rush him back. There's no way this is a minimum like the last one was.
And, Gordon, there's some concern that there's lower back involvement too.
Yeah, so that doesn't bode well for a team that was already struggling with his pitching depth. They bring Wade Miley back into the fold, put him on the big league roster, and the first chance he gets to pitch, he gives it up. So is he going to be in that rotation? Does anybody think that that's the answer? If he is, I don't think so. And then so what are you waiting on? Chase Burns, which isn't bad. But, I mean, you're looking at these, like, everything's a stretch. Everything's a reach just to think in terms of sea level or just above sea level.
I
want to bring up let me just bring up one other point and see what you think of this.
Okay.
Like, I think the All-Star ballots just came out this week. And they're all electronic. They have been for years. And so that means that they're, unlike back in the day, they're not set before the season starts. The players for each team that represent each position aren't set before the season starts. They get to do it right up to the release of the ballot. They've got Tyler Stevenson as the start. I mean, I'm sorry. Jose Trevino is the starting catcher and Stevenson over at the DH spot. They've got Espinal at third base, Steer at first base. I don't quibble with any of those as the Reds players who should be at those positions. But if you'd have said coming into the season that your all-star candidate at first base is Spencer Steer, I mean, you might be fine with that. But one of his strengths is his versatility. That Espinal is going to be your third baseman. He's been one of your better overall players. He's a really good baseball player.
Yeah.
Like that guy a lot.
So do but I.
If he's going to be your all-star candidate at third base, and then most of all, and Trevino was an all-star in 22 with the Yankees. He's legit, but he was signed as a backup. If he's on your ballot as your all-star candidate at catcher, going into the season, you're probably thinking, I say going into spring training, you're thinking, what the hell happened to Tyler Stevenson? What happened to this team? And I think that's part of what happened to this team. Now, Trevino's done a great job, and pitchers love throwing to him. Their pitching staff might even be a little bit better with him back there.
Yeah.
But I think that All-Star ballot kind of underscores a little of what's wrong with this team. What do you think of that?
Well, I think there's some – I buy what you're selling here. This is not the plan you laid out on paper for this team. In fact, it's quite a deviation. If you're thinking about Espinal as the third baseman, this is kind of the baseball's not necessarily a sport of depth charts, but he was probably third in line at that position, if that, coming into this year, wouldn't you say?
In your ideal depth chart, maybe.
Yeah. Right? I mean, Tyler Stevenson's just, his bat's just starting to come around. So, you know what, Gordon? I buy what you're saying here. This is not, I mean, could I have seen it playing out this way for the Reds? Yes, absolutely. But playing out in a manner that is conducive to contending into the summer, into the dog days, absolutely not. So, like I said, I buy what you're selling here.
Yeah. I mean, the guy we haven't even mentioned is Jamer Candelaria. This is the most expensive player on the team.
Yeah.
This is the guy making more money than any hitter, like by a factor of who's the second highest paid hitter on the team, making maybe $6 million, $7 million. Am I forgetting somebody?
Yeah.
Maybe by a factor of three, because he's making 15 a year. And he's buried on the IL right now. He was benched before he went to the AIL. And if you were going to be a competitive team this year, I know, look, fans rightfully so, and maybe even present company included, right, didn't come into the season hanging the hopes on Jamer Candelario. But you figured a minimum amount of contribution from him as a veteran player, a switch hitter, yeah, a guy that I think he hit 10 home runs in June last year. He hit a bunch. He had a really nice June last year. Hadn't done crap otherwise in the year he's been here. Spent a lot of that time on the IL. But you figured you'd get something minimal from him, and you got less than minimal, really. So yeah. One of your best players has been Noelvi Marte, who's now on the IL, who, you know, had a month up here after opening in the minors and really looked like a reason for optimism at that point.
Yeah, he sure did. He was playing a great third base and he was hitting the ball. Some of the names you mentioned, Jamer Candelario only just started in the Arizona Complex League this week, Gordon. Christian Encarnacio Strand, we asked Terry Francona about him earlier this week because he's been hitting the ball well. He has, I think, close to double-digit extra base hits in just a week's time at AAA Louisville. Terry Francona said he's going to continue on his progression to try to get some of his timing back because it has been a while for CES. You know, that back injury flared up in mid-April, so it's been a minute for him. And I didn't get the sense that they were close earlier this weekend.
I mean, he could look like the second coming of Shohei Ohtani down there, but where are you going to put him? There's only two places you can put him. They toyed with the idea of third base, but even there, you got to have Espinal out there, if only for a run prevention reason. But he also takes a real competitive at bat, which you can't say all the way up and down your lineup.
You cannot.
And the only other places you can play him are first base, where you're getting solid contribution from Steer right now. And DH, which you really need. You need for some of the guys if you want to get Trevino and Stevenson both in the lineup at the same time, you need that DH spot, which means at the very minimum, that's a right-handed bat versus the right-handed bat that CES is. So where are you going to play him?
Yeah.
Lux has been DHing a lot too, as sort of the lefty option as a DH. And you need to get him in there because against right-handers, he really rakes. So I just don't know where you play him.
Yeah.
It's a flawed roster. It has been since, look, this week is my second anniversary on the beat. And
congratulations.
In the time I've been here, well, you might not say that after I make my next point. In the 2 years I've been there, it's been a flawed roster every step of the way, every single day.
Yeah.
And you know, they upgraded the coaching staff in the off season. They upgraded the roster in the off season, but it's still a tough mix and match group. It still doesn't, they got better. And look, I said this to Jason when we were doing our column, I said, this looks like the same team, different faces, different names, but pretty much they're running out the same season as last year. And I thought about that later, and I thought, they're better than they were last year.
Yeah, I agree.
The eye test alone, when you watch them play, would tell you that's a better team. But it's also a better league. And so they wind up kind of right back where they started, and they're not getting the really breakout performances that they needed to make noise. And Matt McClain, Exhibit A, batting ninth now. So it's going to be a tough go, man. I mean, you're getting closer to that river every day.
I know that for sure. What? I mean, no, I don't. No, I don't. Now listen,
in all seriousness, is that your dog back there again?
He's back there. Yeah, that's him. That's old Barney.
Hey, you should show everybody Barney.
Hey, Barney, should I?
Yeah, he's got something in his mouth. What's he got in his mouth? Is that what's left of the red season that he's chewing on?
This is Barney.
Hey, Barney. What a good boy.
He is a good boy. This guy's a good friend. So, Gordon, listen. You think it's time to sell.
I do. And I think that I think that one of the best reasons for selling is you have a bunch of short-term veteran assets that have some value, and you can jump the market before some other teams decide that they're sellers.
Yeah, I agree with you. Who would you move, though? Because in that column that I mentioned on Cincinnati.com, the W&W point counterpoint written conversation that you had with Jason Williams, I disagree with some of
the... It's a real conversation.
It is. Oh, I believe it.
And then, we just transcribed it.
What do you think is the best strategy if you were going to jump the market and move into seller's mode right now?
Well, so many teams are looking for pitching right now that I think you immediately, and I love the guy, you immediately put Nick Martinez on the block.
Yeah.
You put Emilio Pagan on the block. Now, those two guys are performing at among the highest levels of anybody on the team.
Yeah.
It's why they have value. Their contracts also are up at the end of the season. And in Martinez's case, it's a big contract. It's a $21 million contract. So if you were to trade him at the deadline with a third of the season left, you save $7 million. And obviously, it's prorated that much more the earlier you trade him. Yeah. So, and I'm not sitting here saying they need to go save money. Jesus, man, they got one of the lowest payrolls in the game. They should have been spending more in the offseason, and that's really the biggest problem. Don't get me started on ownership, for God's sake.
Yeah.
But now that you're in this god-awful position, this middling area, you need to pick a lane and be aggressive about it. If you pick the lane to go all in, that's dumb as hell. So pick the lane to go all in on next year. And if you're going to do that, then is Nick Martinez coming back next year? Probably not. Is Emilio Pagan? Probably not, especially if he racks up a big save total with a decent ERA and maybe makes an all-star.
Which he is. Yeah.
So you start with those names, and then you get to the Barlows and the Rogerses of the world who are also up at the end of the year. The relievers that have some value, former closers in both cases, one left, one right. And then you start getting into the hitters, right? If you can get Hayes healthy and showcase him for a week or two, he's performed every time he's been healthy.
Yeah.
He's on the list. You know, it depends on what your plans are long-term with Gavin Lux. He's got another year of club control. He's not a really expensive player. He might be a nice guy to keep. Kind of depends on what you might get for him. And then two interesting names in my mind. Guys with an additional year of club control beyond this year. Brady Singer, who's been an innings eater in his career. He's going to have a lot of value as a starting pitcher. And our guy Tyler Stevenson, who had a bit of a breakout year offensively last year. He's one of the better offensive catchers in the league. Catching is a position of scarcity when it comes to quality guys who can do it. And you just put Trevino under a contract extension, and he's having a really nice year behind the plate for you.
I think Trevino can be the starting catcher for this. I mean, he has acted as such.
He kind of is.
Yeah.
He's the co-starter as we speak, I think. Kind of, if you look at how Francona is deploying him.
Well, and going back to the All-Star ballot, I don't think you mentioned this specifically, but he's the catcher on the All-Star ballot.
Yeah, yeah. And he's hitting 300, roughly.
Yeah, yeah.
He might get some attention. You know, the problem is nobody really gets attention in Cincinnati in these national and really international voting processes.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, good luck beating out Shohei for DH under any circumstances, right?
But
LA and Japan. And since Votto, you really didn't have that guy.
Gordon, I want to argue with you a little bit here. I like this club's pitching staff. Your rationale behind moving Emilio Pagan and Nick Martinez is sound. They are coming off the books at the end of this year anyway. It's a textbook case of if you are going to sell, those guys jump off the roster as players who you would move. But I like Brady Singer. And if I'm Nick Kroll, I think I want to keep as much of this current, certainly the starting group together, keep as much of that together as I can year over year going into 26. Because the pitchers, by and large, have answered the bell. Some of these bullpen guys have been up and down, but you know, Tony Santien's had his moments. Graham Ashcraft has had his moments. I like Pagan. I like his leadership qualities in the locker room, and I like what he does out in that pen with those younger arms out there, even if he is coming off the books. The pitching has not been the problem. You could look at this current group, and I understand that, you know, late inning relief has been a problem for stretches of this season. Totally get it. But you could reasonably look at this group on the pitching side, including the bullpen, and say, we have this figured out. We're okay here. And as of earlier this week, they had the number three team ERA in the National League, Gordon. I would just be wary of Singer, especially because of the year of club control, but I would really want to keep as much of this group together as possible. What do you think about that?
Bullshit. That's what I think. No, rotation. I think what you're saying about the rotation is worth considering in a big way. It's been the strength of their team since the start of last season.
Yeah.
It's been the one thing that you could reasonably pin some kind of hopes on, some kind of competitive hopes on each of these last two seasons. So I think there's some merit there to what you're saying about that. The bullpen, I disagree with. The bullpen was a shaky proposition coming in. They've been a shaky proposition as they've gone on. I do love Pagan. I love the thing is, if you had another year of club control on Pagan, I would say, even at $8 million a year, which is what he's making, I would say, keep him. Don't trade him because of the influence he has and the versatility he has and the balls of steel that he has.
The stones. In the late end. I was just going to say,
stones, man.
He'll be the first to admit he doesn't always have the best stuff. He'll make mistake pitches, but he has the awareness to know when he makes his pitch and when a batter – just the awareness to stay cool, to put it succinctly. Yeah. Even after a mistake. And, you know, 15 saves is nothing to sneeze at. He's now nipping at the heels.
17.
He's nipping at the heels of the top two pitchers leading the NL in saves. I think he's one back.
He's a workhorse.
He's great for this team and this staff. You worry. I mean, imagine, you know, all these guys you're talking about unloading. The way I'm thinking about it as I sit here today, imagine this team without these guys, without Nick Martinez, the way he's been pitching lately. You know, what would it look like without Emilio down the stretch to close out, you know, what few opportunities they'll have to rack up some wins, maybe even stack some wins, God forbid. Scary to think how bad this could get.
Yeah, I tell you how bad it could get. We wouldn't be talking about you. Terry Francona would be jumping in the river.
Yeah. And here's my other thing, Gordon. Kind of going off that, the idea of selling does not sit well with me. I know it's, you know, you had a good conversation with the Reds front office after.
Wait a minute, is this a philosophical thing or is this because you believe that they can win?
No, I do think time, like I said, time is on their side. There's 99 games left in this season. Dang it. Philosophically, Gordon, philosophically, I do think there's a moment here where you can pull the ripcord and sell. But, man, this team could really use a summer of intrigue in terms of the play on the field and not what's happening down on the farm, not what are they going to get in trade value. you know, this team needs to be relevant on the field yesterday, last season, last decade.
Last two decades.
The idea of another August, September of effectively meaningless baseball doesn't sit well with me. It shouldn't sit well with anyone, frankly. But
isn't that where we're at already, though, Pat? Isn't that where we're at if they stand pat, so to speak?
Well, no, obviously, I don't think so, man. There's 99 games left in this season.
Oh, Jesus, you and your 99 effing games. Yeah, that's 99 chances for more of this crap. I mean, look, man, they haven't played the Mets yet. You see what the Mets are doing with the Dodgers these days? Mets are freaking pitching. The Mets have one of the best records in baseball because they've been pitching their asses off, and we didn't see that coming.
That's a great team. In fact, I mentioned the Reds number 3 in team ERA earlier this week. The Mets were number 1.
Yeah, exactly. They haven't faced the Dodgers yet, the Padres yet, the Phillies yet. I mean, what's going to happen when they start facing the juggernauts in the league? You know, I'm just saying, like, anything's possible. And they do have starting pitching. Maybe it's worth keeping Brady Singer for the reasons you said. One of my ways of thinking about this was that Rhett Lauder, who's probably going to miss most or all the rest of the season with that bad oblique strain.
Yeah.
Hasn't pitched at all this year, except in some rehab games. There's no reason to think he shouldn't be back next year, at least able to contribute, even if it's on some kind of a workload limit. Chase Burns is going to make a debut this year. There's few pitchers in the entire American minor leagues that are pitching as well as he is, and maybe he's pitching better than any of them. He's going to be up at some point. And maybe that, to your point, maybe that's a reason to, like, try to fight for being relevant when it's time for him to show up. And maybe it's sooner rather than later. Maybe he's Hunter Green's replacement. I wouldn't rule that out. But going into next year, I think you have Rhett Lauder and Chase Burns, both top 7 overall draft picks in the last 3 years, who have pitched like it when they've given an opportunity, either at the high minor league levels or the big leagues in Lauder's case. So you got these two guys coming. You still need depth. You still need, you'll have Abbott and Lodolo and Green and Kiepsinger. Now you've got 6 deep and guys you really think you can count on. And maybe you got Williamson coming back at some point next year, and Spires should be back. So, and maybe Petty kind of rebounds from a really rough couple of big league games in brief debut. So maybe I'm talking my way in circles and giving you good reasons to get rid of Brady Singer. But Singer's a veteran guy. Keep the depth. I wouldn't have any problem with keeping your starting pitching depth and just blow out the bullpen and start and really strategically look at some of these position guys, because one problem you have on this team, maybe the biggest problem, is the position guys don't work as a whole.
Yeah, I agree with.
You've got some left-right balance. You got some speed. You got a really nice catching core. I like the catching core. There's nothing wrong with that. You're up the middle. You're okay. You're not setting the world on fire, but defensively, you can get the job done for sure. But, like, everything else is a really bad mix and match. You got more DHs than you got guys that are really good fielders at any given place. And so if you can rectify that in the offseason with some strategic moves, even if it's trading Austin Hayes for somebody that's got a really plus-plus outfield glove and some hitting upside, who's either a young major leaguer or maybe a guy with some club control, or maybe a guy on the brink of a big league debut. Things like that that you could project could make your team better next year in ways that you aren't particularly good this year. Because what you're doing now, what you did now these last 3 years or so to put this group together and get where you are now hasn't worked. And maybe to your point, they'll go on a heater and I'll just be proven wrong and Nick Kral will be a genius and Francona will be manager of the year and they'll do something amazing. Stranger things have happened. That's not what I see when I look on the field.
Well, Gordon, as much as I think you're a damn fool in this case, I have to give it to you. You do know what you're looking at when it comes to the game of baseball. So I hesitate to argue with you. I feel like my proximity to the Ohio River is closer today than it was a week ago, but I'm entrenched. Bring on the last 99 games of 2025, baby.
And you'll be entrenched pretty soon.
Well, we got three games coming up with the Diamondbacks, Gordon, this weekend. And then
that's back to that's key, man. That's that right there could be
another middling team.
Like the pivot point for what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You got a team. A lot of people are talking about the Diamondbacks as sellers because they're sitting in that fourth spot in the NL West. They actually have a slightly better record than the Reds do. So they're in better position. I think they're 3.5 out of a playoff spot right now. But remember, They were the last team to get in 2 years ago, and they made it all the way to the World Series.
Yeah.
Then they had a better record last year and just missed it. Then they added Corbin Burns. So Burns is a big deal. He's getting a second opinion from a surgeon in L.A. I believe it's out in L.A. This week. And you only get second opinions from surgeons if you think surgery's a likely possibility. So he's got an elbow thing. If he can avoid surgery, they've got every reason to stay in. But a sweep either way this weekend should send the losing team in the sweep into the seller's market by Monday, in my mind. It should. And if it's the Diamondbacks, I suspect it probably will. And by the way, if the Reds get swept in that series, they already have reason to maybe consider being sellers as we speak, even if they win the series. But if they were to get swept and the Diamondbacks were to say, hell, forget selling, we're not going to sell, then the Reds are in better position as sellers too. That's one more team with highly valued assets, not selling off the assets. Creates a better market for the Reds. So go D-backs? I don't know.
Not if you're me, but
if you're waiting until next year, maybe go D-backs.
Maybe.
Just a thought. You got any positive thoughts we can end on, Pat? Where's Barney?
He's
Barney,
asleep.
What do you got for us?
He's waiting for lunch.
Yeah, aren't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy. You better go get Barney some lunch. I don't know what. It's a really interesting place that the Reds have put themselves right now.
Yeah.
And who knows what happens? I mean, it was right about this time 2 years ago that they started going on a run.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they do, Gordon, two out of the last 3 years in this expanded playoff era, it wasn't just the Diamondbacks that went to the World Series as the number three wild card. The Phillies did it the first year of the expanded playoff. That, you tell Jason Williams, because he doesn't respond to my text messages, that is the value. That is the value of the third wild card. Once you're in the dance, this is the floodgates are open now in the MLB playoffs. They might as well let 8 teams in. You know, that's where we're at. It's like the NHL and the NBA. Once you're in, anything can happen. And that's why you try. That's why you push all your chips in. That's a positive thought. That's a positive thought for you.
Wow. I'm not even going to, man, I'm just going to let that marinate.
Hey, once you're in, you have a chance.
I can't tell you you're wrong. let's see how the weekend goes. Yeah. All right. Let's call that a wrap on this edition of the Big Pod Machine. Last word belongs to Pat Brennan, my esteemed partner, for our producer, Phil Diddy, and I'm Gordon Widmeyer. Thanks for listening, and have a good weekend.